Uy, 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 esa tos, ¿no será COVID?
No creo, será un resfriado como todos los años. Aunque el martes cené con los chicos y Steve no paraba de toser.
Pues tendrás que hacerte las pruebas.
Mis padres hicieron las pruebas de COVID y gripe en laboratorios LifeLength. Están en la calle Miguel Ángel. Voy a pedir una cita online ahora mismo en citacovid.com.
Yo en mi caso me lancé a hacer el máster porque en mi trabajo necesitaba hacer presentaciones en inglés, necesitaba hablar mucho en inglés, incluso por teléfono. Entonces fue la razón principal por la que me lancé a hacerlo, para tener una fluidez alta en el idioma y además hacerlo con seguridad.
Tengo grandes problemas a la hora de hablar. Me puedo comunicar perfectamente, pero no hablo de una manera correcta. Y también cosas muy importantes, como el poder hablar en público sin tener que tener ese miedo o ese vacío a la hora de decir qué hago ahora o qué digo. Con el máster he solucionado ese tipo de problemas, la verdad.
Yo lo que más destacaría del máster serían los profesores. Ellos son unos grandes profesionales, te motivan muchísimo con el inglés. Por supuesto, los materiales exclusivos que tenemos en el programa.
No estás como en una clase típica, cogiendo apuntes, escribiendo. Lo trabajas hablando, y eso es muy complicado, porque coger una frase y de repente tener que hacerla en interrogativa, en negativa, cuando no lo tienes delante, ayuda a que tu agilidad verbal y tu capacidad también con el idioma sea cada vez mayor, porque es un reto.
Una de las partes que más me gustó del programa fueron las presentaciones a las que me tenía que enfrentar prácticamente cada semana. Otra de las cosas que más me gustó del máster fueron los dos Bound Town a los que asistí, porque esas experiencias eran siempre inolvidables y es una manera de darle un empujón importante al inglés.
Ya lo has oído, apúntate al máster de inglés profesional, ahora por videoconferencia. La misma calidad e intensidad, pero sin perder tiempo en desplazamientos. Entra en grupobaugan.com e infórmate.
You're listening to The Drive Time Show with Kyle Miller.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to The Drive Time Show here on Vaughn Radio. My name is Kyle Miller. Thank you for joining me. At the start of our program today, we had our Twitter translation, as usual. And a lot of people are writing in. I asked you the question. I said, how do you say in English? ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? How do you say in English? Llegaron sanos y salvos. So, bueno, llegaron, ellos, they. We know the subject has to be they. And llegar is to arrive. Now we have an expression here. Sanos y salvos. Sanos y salvos, we say, safe and sound. Safe and sound. So, I'll be looking at your responses. I will check in on Twitter, and I will like the correct responses on Twitter. But, sanos y salvos, safe and sound. So, not sound in the sense of sonido, but sound, which also means secure. It's not going to fall over. It's not going to collapse. It is sure. It is solid. It is sound. So another use of the word sound, much less common than used in the sense of sonido, but a usage of that nonetheless. Safe and sound. Okay, let's go ahead. People love pronunciation. People always ask me for pronunciation. Let's have a look at today's Drive Time pronunciation.
He lives in an island.
He lives on an island. Not Iceland, island.
This is a chaos. This is chaos. Pronunciation.
All right, everybody. It is time to practice the V. Oh, no, and people at home are saying, ah, oh, Dios mío. Really? The V? Yes, the V. Now, it's actually not hard. It is a letter that people make a lot of mistakes with, but they really shouldn't, because it's not a difficult sound to make. If you can pronounce the F, then you can pronounce the V. So you basically start with a V, and then you activate the vocal cords, and you have the V. So if I say, esclavo, in English, slave. I'm not going to say slave, because the V has nothing to do with the B. I'll repeat. The V has nothing to do with the B. The B has a little pop. My lips touch, and it pops open. Slave. Que no existe. But slave, my bottom teeth, sorry, my bottom lip touches my top teeth, like the F. If I say Frank, Phil, full, with the F, then you activate the vocal cords. You have vibrating the vocal cords. You have the perfect V. Never travel. Never travel. Brave, slave, shave. Never travel to the cave. Pavement, wave, microwave, gave, give, live, passive, negative. So all these words, we are simply using, creating an F sound, very, vowel, village, verb, vest, visit, van, alive, knives, cuchillos, knives. Okay, so you're starting with the F, you're activating the vocal cord, and you have the perfect V. Okay? No pongas cuchillos en el microondas. Es muy peligroso. Eso sí. Don't put knives in the microwave. It's very dangerous. Don't put knives in the microwave. It's very dangerous. Okay? Another one. Toda la aldea votó con solo 7 abstenciones. The whole village voted with only 7 abstaining. The whole village voted. The whole village voted with only 7 abstaining. So the V, I'll say it again. Start with the F and activate the vocal cords for the perfect English V.
Drive Time Phrasal Verb.
Well, that's right. It's time for the Drive Time Phrasal Verb. And today, 2 phrasal verbs, although really related. We have to keep up and to keep up with. So at home, you could be saying, oh, Kyle, that's the same phrasal verb. Well, it's kind of an extension of that phrasal verb. To keep up the pace, mantener el ritmo. Keep up with the leader. Keep up with him. Keep up with the pace of the class. So it's kind of like mantener el ritmo, to keep up with someone or something. Okay? So we could have a physical example, like we're running a race. And I say, well, I'm trying to keep up with the leader of this, I'm running a marathon. I'm trying to keep up with the leader. Or I could also say to keep up with the class, seguir el ritmo de la clase. So if you miss a few classes, you say, well, I want to do extra work at home in order to keep up with the class, to keep up with, mantener el ritmo, right? To keep up and to keep up with. And we say, keep up the good work, right? Sigue con el buen trabajo. Keep up. So keep up something means to continue doing something. And to keep up with someone is seguir el ritmo. Okay? All right, let's go ahead. We've got an interesting story here. Kind of a fun story. It's a weird one, though. It's not that weird. It's more, let's call it inspirational. Not weird at all. I shouldn't say it, but... we will consider this, though, today's weird news.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for today's weird news.
Weird news, everybody. It's a little bit odd, but it's very inspiring, let's say, as a 12-year-old boy has been accepted to Georgia Tech and is seeking a career with NASA, Now, Georgia Tech, of course, a prestigious university in the United States, and a 12-year-old boy who has been accepted there said he plans to study aerospace engineering for a career in space exploration. Caleb Anderson is 12 years old, and he is dual enrolled. So to be enrolled is like to be inscrito, I believe you say. Dual enrolled. He's in both places, in high school and also in the in his local technical school, and he is aiming to start classes at Georgia Tech next fall, according to his family. So he's finishing high school and also attending the Chattahoochee Technical College in Georgia, I assume. He says, I think I'm going to go to Mars and do more school, I think, and try to get my master's degree at Georgia Tech. Then do an internship with Elon Musk, and then I'll probably get my PhD at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, and then I'll start working at either NASA or SpaceX. So he's pretty ambitious, to say the least. Ambitious, which, by the way, in English is not a bad word. In Spain, people say, oh, if they say, oh, you're ambitious, it often means that you're not satisfied with your life or something, and it's considered to have negative connotations to a lot of people. But in English, especially in America, ambition is a very positive characteristic. Oh, he's ambitious. That's great. It means you set high goals for yourself. Now, the boy's parents said they noticed their son was especially intelligent at a very young age. They said, at 3 weeks old, we noticed he was trying to mimic some of my words, copying words. And by 4 months, he was picking up basic signs, according to his mother. Now, the father said Caleb was asking questions from the time he was able to talk. The father said, he's always been that way, where he'll ask these very deep, profound questions, and you don't expect that from a three-year-old. That's been our journey, our road, said the father. Now, the 12-year-old boy has received an offer from comedian Steve Harvey to cover the cost of his tuition at Georgia Tech University. And he offered some advice to other kids looking to copy his success. He said, if you want to succeed, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to learn to fail. That's a really big part of winning. And the second part is, you always try. If somebody says you can't do that, that doesn't mean it's not possible. I think that's great. It's true. It's kind of like business advice as well. You have to be prepared to fail. You have to expect failure, and even some entrepreneurs will even say, look for failure, seek failure, because it's an opportunity to succeed. It's an opportunity to learn, a learning experience. All right, we're going to go ahead with some questions now. We have a couple people writing in, some on Instagram, some in other places. Let's take a look at today's By Request.
Request. Inglés a la carta.
By request. That's right. It is that time of the show where I answer your questions. This first one came in on Instagram. By the way, I'm Kyle Miller on Instagram. I am KYLEMILLAR. And it's from Luth from Valencia, who says, good evening, Kyle. Could you explain the use of this expression to have a ring to it? That has a nice ring to it. It's kind of like saying it sounds nice to me. That has a ring to it. Or if we have a name, imagine we are brainstorming, which is when you creatively sit around trying to think up ideas. Imagine I'm thinking of names for a business, and finally I think of one name or a slogan, and you think, oh, that's a great idea. That slogan sounds great. It has a nice ring to it. It's almost like saying suena bien. It sounds good, but it has a ring to it. Means it's a little bit like a clever name or theme or title or subtitle. If we think it's good, if we think it could work and is attractive and kind of intelligent, then we could say, oh, it has a ring to it. Como suena bien. Eso suena bien. I'm sure there's a better way to say this. You probably have a very particular expression for this in Spanish that I don't know. But in English, yeah, we say it has a ring to it. All right. Almudena, I hope that's a satisfactory answer for you, Luth. Almudena checks in from Madrid and says, hi, Kyle, is there any difference between mean and stand for? Well, yes, both are significar. But to stand for is typically, it means significar. ¿Qué significa eso? What does this stand for? If we're talking about acronyms, like CIA stands for the Central Intelligence Agency. UCLA stands for the University of California at Los Angeles. So we use it with acronyms, and we also use it, we could say, we stand for peace, our organization. So we use it to imply values. What you stand for is the values that you live by, or the values that you exist by. Your organization stands for a certain set of values or a certain objective, often a moral objective, is what you stand for. So that use, or very often with acronyms. But if I just say, hey, ¿qué significa talar? I say, well, talar means to cut down trees. Significa talar, significa pues, cortar árboles. It means to cut down trees. I wouldn't say talar stands for. No, it means. What does that mean? ¿Qué significa? What does it mean? So we use stand for when we talk about acronyms or an abbreviation that represents something. Or, like I said, like a moral objective of an organization. Okay? And that is Almudena. And she also says, oh, Kyle, could you please explain begin and start? I think there are some differences, but I don't know what they are. Could you help me? Well, yeah, I mean, start and begin can often be used interchangeably. I started the class today early. Or I started the radio show at the normal time. I began the show at the normal time. I began the show with the Twitter translation. Okay? There are some exceptions. For example, you start an engine. You start a motor. You start up the computer. So the sense of arrancar has to be start. Empezar, start, or begin. Arrancar, start only. Okay? You can start a car, you can start a lawnmower, but you can't begin them. You can begin the movie. What time does the movie start? Yeah. What time does it begin? Yeah, you can kind of say it either way. So really the biggest difference is this sense of arrancar, where we would never use begin. We would always use start. Okay? All right. Hey, let's go ahead and have a look at an expression. People love expressions. Let's take a look at our expression of the day.
Expression of the day.
All right. Our expression is to bank on something. To bank on essentially means to rely on and be sure that something is going to happen. You can bank on the Drive Time show being on the radio tomorrow. You can bank on it. I'll be there tomorrow. There will be a show tomorrow. You can bank on it. You can rely on me. You can rely on it. We often use it in the negative. Hey, don't bank on it. I say, I have a friend who's unreliable, and he said, yeah, hey, I'll go to the party. But I'm thinking, look, don't bank on it. I'm not banking on him going because I expect he's not going to go. He backs out, right? He changes his mind a lot. So I'm not going to bank on him. I'm not going to rely on his presence or his statement, even. I'm not going to bank on it. So to bank on something is basically to rely on it. Bank, like the bank where you keep your money. You know, because you hope the bank is reliable. Hopefully you can bank on the bank to keep your money. If you can't bank on them, take your money somewhere else. Today in history. Today in history, let's go back 16 years, and a contestant on the American game show Jeopardy had his winning streak come to an end. Now, Jeopardy is maybe the most famous game show in the United States, and sadly, the longtime host, Alex Trebek, actually Canadian, I think he was from Ottawa, he just passed away. He just died a few weeks ago, and a great host of a game show. And it was 16 years ago today that after winning 74 straight games, winning more than $2.5 million, which is a record for any U.S. game show, this contestant finally lost. So this was a game show where if you win, you keep going. And you can win money one night and you win, so you go the next night and you keep going until you lose. Now, Ken Jennings, his winning streak gave the game show a huge ratings boost and turned the software engineer from Utah into a TV hero and a household name, at least temporarily. A household name. El nombre conocido. Para mucha gente, it was a household name. Barbara Walters, named him one of the 10 most fascinating people of the year. And he appeared on shows including Late Night with David Letterman, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and even Sesame Street. So this guy, this is a quiz show, by the way. It's a typical sort of quiz, well, no, I shouldn't say typical. It has an interesting format, a very challenging one, but it's based on trivia-type knowledge. Now, Jennings was born in 1974. Outside of Seattle, Washington, he graduated from Brigham Young University in the year 2000, where he went to the school's National Quiz Bowl team. He grew up watching Jeopardy and made his first appearance on the show in June of 2004. And after a record-setting six-month run, says messes 6 months without losing, he finally lost on a show that aired on this day, November 30th, 2004, when he was stumped. He was tricked with the following question. Now, in Jeopardy, what they do is they actually give you the answer, and you have to ask the appropriate question that corresponds. So a little bit like our interrogative challenge, but they have to form a question. So it'll say, for example, Kyle Miller is an English teacher is a radio presenter with this well-known Spanish English teaching radio station, and you would say, "What is Vaughn Radio?" And he would say, "Yes," and you would win some money. But the question that Jennings lost on was as follows: most of this firm's 70,000 seasonal white-collar employees work only 4 months a year. Now, white-collar, so like business employees. And the correct response was the tax preparation company H&R Block. And he lost. He didn't get that question. Now, Jennings went on to become a pitch man, right? A presenter of sort of marketing concepts for various products.
He wrote a bunch of books as well. And at the time of his appearance on Jeopardy, he was, Jeopardy was well established as the top-rated game show in America. It was created by this talk show host and entertainer, Merv Griffin. Jeopardy started on TV in 1964. And it suggested this format where contestants were given trivia answers in a variety of categories and then required to come up with the questions. Like I said, it was canceled in 1975, but it came back briefly in 78. But then finally in 84, returned with a syndicated version of Jeopardy with Alex Trebek as host. The late Alex Trebek, Canadian Alex Trebek, who passed away, who died just a few weeks ago. Apparently a very well-liked guy as well. And a very pleasant man, I must say, Alex Trebek. Also on this day in 1974, Elton John's Greatest Hits went to number one. I talked about this earlier on the show, so I won't repeat that. But his real name is Reginald Dwight. He was from London. And had his Greatest Hits album go to the top of the Billboard 200 pop album charts. And he would sell more than 24 million copies worldwide. I'm just about out of time, folks. I would like to keep talking, but I do have to finish there for today. So I want to thank you for listening. And I will go over to Instagram for my after show. I call it The Extra Mile with Kyle. I'll put that into the Facebook group as well. So if you'd like more content, you can always get my free extra content in my free Facebook group. It's called English with Kyle. English with Kyle. I will finish there, folks. If you're interested in online classes, be sure to check out GrupoVon.com and look for video conference classes. They're fantastic. The pricing is great and very, very effective way to bring the best teachers in Spain into your home through video conference classes. You can get all the information you need at GrupoVon.com. I'm going to finish there. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.